Blog Talk Radio.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I didn't say were wrecking balls inside my brain. I will scream loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my fight song. Take back my life song. Prove them all right song. My power's turned on. Starting right now, I'll be gone. I'll play my fight song.
Everybody, this is Whirl with Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, I'm here in New York City. It's sunny and chair outside, but quite windy, and I think my heat is on, so it's colder than I thought. But I'm indoors here, and I got a good show because I haven't. Wonderful guest, the amazing Kreskin. Well, he is a mentalist, but he'll tell you all about this. As a matter of fact, why don't I just say hi to him now? So should I call you Kreskin or George?
Well, I haven't been called George for about 40, 50 years. But occasionally the name, no, it's okay, Merle, no, I get a kick out of it because I made a mistake a couple of years ago to talk about a person who's supposed to know the business, has been in it for a while, and don't you know, when they ask me about, you know, how my name is registered, what does it look like, I held up my credit card, which has on it T.A. Kreskin, standing for The Amazing Kreskin, and of course, as some of you listening in right now must realize, I got into trouble within a day or two. We had to cancel the card, change all the information on it because all over the millions of people saw my private code numbers and everything else. But it's Kreskin. That's the one name. But it's good to talk to you. I have to tell your listeners this, and I really mean it. I would have a field day interviewing you because. You have had, and folks listening in must know this, you've had a fascinating career. I mean, a musician, comedian, huh? And writer?
I'm a comedian, singer, actress, and musician, and writer.
Oh, what instrument? Can I call you Merle, or should I say Miss Exit?
Oh, it's Merle. Merle is my name. It's the last name that's not...
it's
the last name
Merle,
that I changed.
Merle, what instruments have you played?
Oh, my God. Well, you know, the thing is, I started out when I was like 14 years old, getting involved in with high school. And before you know it, like the first thing, I was playing the piano. That was my first thing. And then I suddenly decided I'd rather do comedy. It's better.
Oh, my God.
Then I got into a repertory group and we were doing shows and, you know, this one thing led to another.
I know, I always say when I've done over 1,000 university shows in this country and Canada, aside from the regular concerts and you know, the Vegas and everything else, but I always say, if you're going into show business, because I started getting paid when I was in my early teens, I was making big money then, $5 a show. But then it got, and people in the business understand this, that it got bigger. I say, if you're going into show business, don't expect a minimum wage. You just may have to prove yourself and work for free half the time. You know
yes.
what I mean, Merle.
Yes, I know.
I'll tell you,
I did a lot of
I'll
that,
tell you,
too.
Bob Hope said to me years ago, when he reminded me, he said it was the best, the most honest advice he had heard. And I don't mean this egotistically, but because I do, I've done so many performances for colleges and so forth. A lot of them have had after the show a meet and greet where they as a group, those that want to get into entertainment or into radio or television, and they want to interview me, and you know, they're asking me about the career challenges and everything else. And then I point out to them, some of them will ask, you know, well, I want to go into singing, the music, and so forth. And my advice, and I mean this seriously, to any of you young folks listening in, you must, if you have talent, you have a great dedication, you work your ass off, take advantage of as many opportunities as you possibly can. And if you have all those things with a great deal of talent, and have some good luck opportunities, you have a minuscule chance of ever making it in show business. And Bob Hope said to me, he hugged me when he said, that's the truth. And you know, the people who love the business, that's not offensive or threatening to them. They know that's the case, and some spend much of their life striving to get through in the business. That's the nature of show business.
Yeah, but why is it that I can't, like get somebody to do my plumbing and say, hey, come on over and come to my house. Let me see what you can do. And wait a second, not only that, while you're here doing it, I'm going to have some people come in. I'll charge like $5 a person and a 2-drink minimum while you do your work. And if I like your work, maybe I'll hire you.
Wow. I want to tell you something. Folks, I said this. I think I said this to her. If we're ever in a public concert in person, I dare not read Merle's thoughts live. No, I'm joking, Merle. you know, Merle. Isn't it a sad commentary? And I travel constantly, but sad commentary that we can't laugh at ourselves as much as we once did. I think it's a very great threat in this country that we have to worry about laughing. I mean, look at who would have ever dreamt that universities would now edit what a comedian can joke about. I find this unbelievable.
Oh yeah, I know. I don't know what I would be able to do. I have a very warped sense of humor, so I don't know how I would handle
it good.
These days.
Well, I can remember, and I've been around for a while. I can remember as a kid, a little kid, Second World War. Of course, we didn't have television. I'd go to on Saturdays to the movie theater and see the newsreels and the cartoons and, of course, a movie. But I can remember seeing pictures of Franklin Delano Roosevelt sitting, and next to him is Bob Hope, and Roosevelt's laughing, and you know, there's people around him laughing because, I mean, comedians were mocking everything. And today, my God, whether it's the color of someone's dress or the way they're dressed or I don't even want to say, it's getting absolutely, and it's that serious, because if we can't, to me, humor is one of the greatest weapons we have in any period in history, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
I have to say, in fact, I got in at 4:30 this morning, and my programs there were local, but the airline industry, you were telling about my work and everything, the airline industry announced 2 years ago, it was, I have flown at that point in my career a little over 3.5 million miles, 3.5 million, and I'm going to some opening of some new airline that's changing their format, or I don't know what it is about. But airline travel is not what it once was, Merle. I want to tell you, they announced, and you'll get a kick out of this, and because they tell me when one of the news broadcasters announced it on some network show, he says, I don't know how to even tell you folks this, but one of the airlines, and I'm not going to mention United because I've given them a lot of publicity, but anyway, United, amongst others, has announced that they're making the size on the airlines, and maybe you've heard about this, of their bathrooms smaller. So help me God. I couldn't even believe when I heard this. And of course, the people who work the airlines tell me, they say, of course, you know why, Chris? Because it gives them seven or more seats to put on the plane. But can you imagine the size of the bathroom smaller than it was before? Let's not even, no one-liners there because we're live and we might be edited.
Oh, I don't edit here. I was going to say, no shit.
Good. Good, but it's crazy. I've traveled all over the world. The 5.5 years traveling off and on through Saudi Arabia, that's got to be another book in itself. But at the same time, who would have ever dreamt? I couldn't even have predicted this, that we would be, that airlines would be charging to check luggage too, because most of my entire career. And thank God, I mean, I can afford such, but the average person, there's now airlines that charge if you carry an attaché case on the flight. So it's a whole different world, but that's, things aren't going
to
change.
I have the answer to this. I have the answer to this.
What's that?
Regardless of what the weather, you wear a big coat with lots of pockets. And in the pockets, underwear, your stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
you know,
Meryl,
a lot of because I'm constantly traveling. Sometimes I'm away for weeks on end. But the jacket I wear, I have two different jackets. The jacket I wear that has 18 pockets in it. And boy, you said you hit the nail on the head. You got to carry as many things because I will never forget the time. And I love Canada, but this is a few years ago. I got on the plane and we're sitting there and we're waiting and waiting and I thought, what's going on? The weather's okay. And finally, two or three people, they looked like officials and they were officials. They came on and the stewardess came up to me and said, Kreskin, they want to talk to you. So these two men come down the aisle. I'm thinking, am I in trouble? And they said, Mr. Kreskin, we think you'll want this. Can you believe when I went through security, I put my passport on a conveyor belt, left it there for their whole thing.
Oh, God.
They held up the plane, found the airline. Canada's like my second home, but that was neat because can you imagine if I landed and then suddenly I didn't have it in front of me? Sure. That some mentalist forgets his hair, forgets his
yeah,
passport,
right.
and doesn't know where he had it. I tell you the stories. I've written 20 books so far. My last book in real time is now on Kindle, and you can. We're going to record it also, but it's called On Real Time, And the books are not fiction books because I'm not a skillful writer in that area, but because I've had so many experiences through the years traveling, and some of them are amusing and some of them are crazy, you know, and what have you. Because of my livelihood dealing with reading people's thoughts and so forth, one trip, it's a cute story. I was coming back. I was doing the Tonight Show, but I was appearing – somewhere else in California. I was at a nightclub there. So after the show, I am flying back to that area. And the show was Carson always taped his shows in the afternoon, and I did between New York, the Tonight Show, and L.A., the Tonight Show. I did 88 Carson shows. So a lot of experiences I had through the years. We were flying back. We're delayed. I mean, we're not delayed. I mean, the flight's less than an hour, and I'm thinking, what the hell's going on? It's an hour and 10 minutes, and there's no storm out there. And I look up, and I could see the stewardesses, and I knew a lot of them because I've flew so much. And I called one of the stewardesses over, and my seat next to me was empty. So she sat down, and I said, is everything okay? She says, no, Kreskin, we can't get the gears down, and there's concern, you know, and all this jazz. They may have to foam the airport and all the runway and all that jazz. I said, okay, I don't. The passengers don't know about it. She says, no. Well, an hour and a half goes by, and I could hear conversation in the back, and obviously the pastors are now concerned. And I decided I got to get up and walk around because I'm sitting too long. So I get up, and I'm in the front area, and but I decide I'm gonna walk the length of the plane. So I walk into the other area, and I walk all the way to the back. I use the bathroom there, and I come out of that, and I come up through that area and come up to the front, and I sit down. And now it's getting, and the stewardess has said to me, she says, looks like we're going to have to phone the airport. And we're getting closer and closer, and I suddenly hear someone in the cockpit. That's good. That's all I hear. And the stewardess, one of the stewardess comes over to me and says, Kreskin, great news. Can you hear something? I said, yeah, the gears. She says, the gears are unlocking. We're going to be able to land. So we come down. We land. And by the way, it's crazy because you can see the foam all over. There's white stuff all over the place because we're going to have to. So anyway, we're landing. And we land. And the stewardess said, Kreskin, we'd like you to get off first. And I said, is everything okay? She says, yeah, the pilots want to see you. So I get off the plane, true story, and down at the bottom of the steps, because we have a walking distance through slushy looking stuff, but to the airport itself. But there's the three pilots, and I get to the bottom, and there's a couple stewards. They say, Kreskin, we want to thank you. I said, what do you mean? They said, you got up and walked through the rest of the plane, didn't you? I said, yeah, I know I didn't go to the men's room in the front or the bathroom. I went to the in the back. They said, well, let us tell you, and you can ask the stewardesses, that the passengers saw you doing this, and they started to act less stressed out. And I said, what do you mean? They said their feeling was, if anything really was going to seriously happen, you would have foreseen and stayed off the plane so everything was okay. Is that a crazy story? I love that. And they said, thank you. And I said, oh, I got to tell that story. So I've had experiences, but I got such a kick out of that. And I could tell you endless things through the years. But airline travel is not what it once was. And make sure you take on an extra purse and a credit card. I'm only kidding. You may find, you know, there's one airline. I'm not going to mention in New York now, but to board it now, if you get a glass of water, you have to pay for it. Who would have ever believed that was? And those listeners, you call in and tell Merle the name of the airline, because I'm not joking.
Here's the one I love. When they come over and you say, can I have a bottle of water? They bring you the bottle of water, and then they ask you, they give you a glass and say, do you want ice with it? And I'm looking at them, I said, well, the reason I'm getting bottled water is I don't want anything else. I mean, the ice would make it no longer bottled water.
Yeah. I'm interviewed. I'm talking on a cell phone at the same time, Merle. I'm being interviewed now by a lady who's we're on the air, so I'm going to talk to the person who hears my voice in about a half an hour. Isn't that a neat way of Merle to answer a cell phone that I happened to by mistake leave it on, and I want everyone to know I answered it on the air. So this is really live. You know, Marilyn, you understand this because you've been in the business quite a while, and I'm 84 years old.
Let me ask you a question. Just so people know what you do.
I talk too much sometimes. I said, let you just speak to me now.
Well, what I want to ask so people understand, tell us, like, what it is that you do. In other words, you're doing your act. What do you do?
Yeah. The program and people who've seen me on television or years ago, the television series, The Amazing Kreskin, have seen me guesting on shows. I am not a psychic in the sense, Merle, that I don't – if someone – well, let me give you a perfect example to explain what I do. A year ago at the Riviera in Vegas, which I think now is closed. I didn't close. I was there for a month or what have you. I have my audience. And that's true whether it's a nightclub, it's a corporate affair, or it's a large like Carnegie Hall or State Fair outdoors, I tell my audience to concentrate on something. I'm going to try to tune in their thoughts. So I mentioned two names, and in this, and we were filled, and this night this elderly gentleman in the back of the nightclub room stood up at the Riviera, and I said to him, he was with a lady, it turns out it was his wife. I said, well, how do you know these two people? The gentleman says, Kreskin, it's not people. These are two pet dogs. We love them dearly. And I, Merle, happen to love animals. I have four cats here. I travel all the time, so dogs need a walking care, but I have cats, and I love them, the four of them. But anyway, he said, there are two dogs. We love them dearly. I said to him, or you were thinking of that. Did you say to your wife, I wonder if Kreskin could tell me my army number? Merle, you would have had to have been there. I wish we had been on radio or there were a TV camera. He slams his fist down on this small table because people were sitting at their small tables and having a drink. And said, yes, I said it to her, but we're not from here in Vegas. We're from some other part of the country. And we were at the hotel. That was 6 o'clock hours ago. And I did say that. Now, Merle, if he didn't know his army number, I wouldn't be able to do anything. But you could talk to anybody who's been in the service, man or woman. They never forget their number. And he admitted, he says, I never talked to my wife about it because I never had reason to. Nobody ever talks about it. So I don't look into a crystal ball. But if the person knows in their mind what the initials that they're thinking of are, or what in his case, I said, all right, you concentrate on your army number. And I wish I had a camera there, because when I finished, he said, my God, that's exactly true. I got his number, and he was in World War II. But he thought of each digit mentally, one at a time. So people who see me in person, I'll tell them a place they've traveled to, they're thinking of, or the name, as I said, of their pet or what have you. And my work deals, people have seen me on television on the years ago. There was a show called The Mike Douglas Show, which whenever I was on that, I was on for half an hour. I did 118 shows with them. But if through the years, all the Tonight shows, I've done them all and what have you. But it deals with picking up people's thoughts. Now, I got to share this with you because you're going to find this fascinating. And this reads like a mystery story. And one drama critic a few years ago, I was at a theater in outside of Philadelphia, and I was there for a week or two, and we were disappointed. He didn't review the show the next day, and there was no review. I said, what's going on? And then the next day, he had come to three shows, and he had come to the opening night, he'd come to the matinee the next day, and then the evening show, and then the next day he wrote a review. He said, watching Kreskin do the check test is like my going to a play or a movie and reviewing a mystery, because this is what I do in my full evening shows, which run 2 hours. The nightclub shows are not always that long. They're an hour and a half or an hour and 15 minutes. My full evening shows are two and a half hours. I bring a committee from the audience. I pick five or six people whom I've never met. I try to get a group that don't know each other, and that's easier if it's a large theater, but if it isn't, if it's a private affair, you can't argue about that. But they must be people who have never known me. I give them my check. You heard me, Merrill. I hand them my check. Two of the committee escort me from the theater. We go out of the building, unless the weather's bad, then we go into another part of the building where I can't hear or see what's going on. At Carnegie Hall, they took me into the ushers took the committee, and we went to some room where there was no sound or what have anything like that. Anyway, while I'm out of the theater auditorium, the committee, the six of them who have my check, are told they can hide it anywhere in the auditorium, anywhere. When they're finished, someone comes and gets me. The committee that's guarding me that come and escort me back to the theater, and I return to the stage. And they acknowledge the fact that I didn't see what happened, I didn't hear what happened, I didn't know what happened. I've done this in, as I said, over 1,000 university shows, and they go crazy over this. Well, I'm going to finish this part of the story. at one university show in the Midwest. I come back in. There's about 2,000 people. It's a family weekend, and they're in a gymnasium. Now I'm on the stage, which is a metal stage because it's not a theater. They built a little stage for me where I'm doing my program from. The committee, one of the committee members is simply told by me, don't talk to me. I will not ask you any questions. Just concentrate on what you've done. And Merle, if I don't find my fee, if I don't physically, without asking any questions, whether I'm going through the audience or what have you, end up holding it in my hand, I forfeit my fee. The money is returned to the organization that booked me or whatever the situation is, and the program is for free. And that's a hell of a way to make a living. And the people have asked me, I've done it over 3,000 times, almost 4,000 times, have I ever failed? Yes, I have. I've failed 11 times. That doesn't sound like many. Off-Broadway last year, that was one of the times, but the most famous failure took place in New Zealand. And I love that country. I've toured there many times. But the second night I was there, I failed. I couldn't find it. And I lost my fee. And the next day, there was a press conference on the steps that morning. Over 100 reporters were there because I couldn't find my fee, but because what I lost the night before was $51,000.
Wow.
Some of the money we turned over to Crippled Children's Hospital. But picture this scenario. At this gymnasium in the Midwest, I'm walking through the audience. I'm tripping over people because they carpeted the basketball floor so people could sit in chairs there. They had the bleachers. I come up to this elderly gentleman, obviously not a student. I thought, well, maybe he's a professor, maybe he's a parent. I had him stand. I said, open your mouth. I felt like a jerk, Merle, because there was no check. I said, I'm sorry, sir. Sit down. I walked away from him. I come back to the stage. I said, folks, I never asked anybody to do this. I took one of the other committee members. I said, would you clearly concentrate on what you've done where you've hidden it? He says, I will. I walk through the audience. I suddenly freeze. I turn. I'm by the same man I was by before. I said, sir, would you stand? I said, sir, if I embarrass you, just sit down. I'll end the test. I've lost my fee. Would you open your mouth? I look at him and I said, does this have to do with the roof of your mouth? I will never forget this as long as I live. He reaches in his mouth, Merle, takes out his upper plates, and hands me my check.
Oh, look at that. Wow.
So around the world and universities, one university, I walked through an audience. I said something about a gun. I thought, that's asinine. I don't carry guns. I'm not into guns. I put my hand on this gentleman in a suit. I thought, well, maybe he's a professor, a teacher. Bring him to the stage. He said, can I open your jacket? He says, yes. I open it. He's a plain clothesman. He's wearing a shoulder holster. I don't handle guns. I said, can I take the gun out of your holster? He said, if you're careful. I took the gun out. I would never do this in everyday life. I turned the gun towards my face. They had taken tweezers, shredded the chest at the check, and fed it down the barrel of the gun. So the story I can tell you through the years, at Carnegie Hall, it was hidden in the fire hose department of the wall, the back of the theater, which no one ever touches. I kept playing with the door, and I said to the ushers, Can I open the door? They said yes, because I knew you wouldn't do things like this. I pulled out 8 feet of fire hose, and there was the check attached to the end. They knew I'd be afraid to even toy around with that. So that's one of the highlights of my career, Merle.
Wow, that's great. First, I want to ask you, are you doing any shows? Any shows that are coming up?
Well, I got to tell you, we haven't. Yes, I'm traveling all over the place, but you know where you saw me. Where did we meet last? That was at a very special
The
Playboy Club. And I can remember years ago doing. I appeared with Hugh Hefner on a show and did private shows. Looks like I'm going to be scheduled to do a concert there in the near future. You got to be there, Merle.
Oh, I will. I will.
And if I fail to find my check, you can walk me to the top of the building where I'll jump off. No, I'm only joking. I'm only kidding.
What did you think of the Playboy Club, by the way?
I want to tell you something. It's great you asked me that because I was extremely impressed. I've worked all over the world. But, you know, the days nightclubs are not what they once were in New York when we had the Star Club. We had all these clubs and so forth. And, I'm talking to Merle, who we met at the Playboy Club. Remember her? My road manager walked in. And I just had to mention, and I'll clear everything. But Merle, I think it is absolutely classy in its look. This could be a new renaissance in nightclubs in New York. Do you understand what I'm saying, Merle?
Oh, yeah. I was like extremely impressed. As a matter of fact, the article that I wrote comes out on Thursday, and I put you in it too.
I've got a. Where will I find the article? Where will I look for it? On the internet or at a newspaper?
Well, what happened is I have to put it up. What I do is I put it up on my Facebook. Oh, as a matter of fact, I just this morning I put it up on my blog, you can, and I'll give you the link.
I will mention it, Merle, on my webpage because my webpage is seen all over the world. It's on an internet thing, and I will mention it so people know about it. And then hopefully, if a story comes out in the future, you let me know when because I want to. I'll announce it. You know.
Oh sure, yeah. Because I with the blog, I have you tagged. What I just didn't do, I haven't put the photos up on yet. So I have to get back to that. Although everything went up on my Facebook page as soon as I got home. I put everything on my Facebook page. And just like that, this article went over like 1,200 words or something like that.
That's
I just
great.
Kept on writing and writing and writing about the place, you know. And so as I said, so in the article the blog will have everything and all of the photos that I took, which is good.
That's great. That's great. Because, yes, I really was enchanted. I was enchanted with it. I'm impressed with the room. By the way, the food there is damn good. I got to say that.
I'm sorry, the what?
The food there is damn good.
Oh, yeah.
Good. I had salmon I enjoyed it immensely. And I like the flavor of the folks that are waiters and waitresses, waiter-dees. There's a warmth about it. I really think this. I mean, I realize how long has it been since the reopened? A half a year or so, Merrill, or how long would you say?
I had no idea that because I didn't even know it was around. I think I
didn't
think
either.
It's definitely less than a year.
It's old. Yes.
I saw some. I saw some reviews that said 2018.
Oh, maybe that's 2018. Of 2018, you mean? When you say
with the date of the year of 2018 on these reviews. So I guess that or I think it was on maybe Yelp or one of those things.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Apparently it opened sometime last year.
Yeah, but it could, yes, and only less than half a year, I think, less than half a year. But anyway, very, very, and I was very impressed. It's refreshing. You know what I mean? It's refreshing.
Yes.
And I liked it. And you know, I was only a little kid during the area of the Star Club and all the clubs and what have you. And you know, this is a new era, and I really think that this could be become very popular. I mean that sincerely. I was quite enchanted with it, but you're gonna have to come to my performance when I do this. We'll know the date very shortly. And God, folks listening in, or if you're, God forbid, if I read Merle's thoughts, we're in trouble. No, I'm joking, Merle. You know. By the way, I got to tell you one more story. You'll get a kick out because.
Oh sure.
People say, "How did you know?" When I my first appearance on the Carson show, he had taken over. Steve Allen had had a show before that, and Steve Allen left the car and had a show late at night. And I appeared on the Steve Allen show. They flew me out to L.A., which was a late-night show. College students were watching, and I was in college then, but I was performing all over the place. And Johnny watched that show that night. Steve Allen introduces me and says, "This young man has an unusual gift. Would you welcome Kreskin?" I didn't have the name Amazing. Carson gave me that. Now, I'd not been on Carson. Carson was at home in New York with his wife. He watched the show because The Mentalist was on. And his show was on earlier, because this was very late at night, the Steve Allen show. I walk on. I walk towards Steve Allen. The lights are very, very bright, almost blinding. And I'm like a fool looking towards the camera, not knowing enough to realize, hey, I'm going to be blinding myself. I get to Steve Allen, who's standing on a dais, elevated, you know, the way everybody else has. And
yeah.
As I get to the dais, I trip over the dais and fall practically flat on my face. Now, Steve Allen did not mock me. He wasn't that type of comedian. He said, "You're okay." And I went on. We did about 25 minutes on the show. But a man was watching that show, Johnny Carson, and 7 weeks later introduced on his show Cornack the Magnificent, who fell over the desk all the time. That was the takeoff of me.
Yeah.
And the last show I did with Carson, which was like my 80th show, they have it 61, but the first year or two of Carson shows were erased by NBC. NBC didn't know any better then, and Carson was infuriated. So those shows are lost for good. But the last show I did with Carson, I said, and the audience did not know it was going to announce the ending of the show because he hadn't gone public yet about. I knew about. I didn't say this on the air, but during the show, I said, "Gee, John, thank you. All these years with you, you've really helped to establish me, and people will not forget." And he says, "Oh, the mighty Carson, huh?" So we can't erase our past these days, Merle. I don't know where these 35, 40 minutes have gone. I could talk to you for hours.
That's a good, but I just want to ask you, what was the thing that made you decide to do this? I mean, what
well, that's
incident
an interesting
happened?
Thing. Yes, I will tell you
what
it was.
What incident happened? Yeah.
Yes, and I was handed a comic book when I was 5 years old. I didn't know how to read. My mother would read to me the comics. And the comic was a legendary comic in the 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. Every day in the newspapers and in the comic books, it was Mandrake the Magician. But Mandrake, written by Lee Faulkt, was not a magician. He had hypnotic abilities, and he had telepathic abilities that would solve crimes. And then I had experiences in grade school where I ended up reading people's thoughts during show and tell. But that Mandrake, I play-acted him and started acting and playing games where I was attempting to read my playmate's thoughts, and that's the kind of games I was playing until by the time I was in fourth and sixth grade, these games started to work. But one of the great moments of my entire life, because Lee Faulkt wrote Mandrake and also The Phantom, legendary comics, and 30 years later, at Sardi's restaurant, I was called by professors, "Would you like to come and visit? Lee Faulkt is going to be there. We're interviewing about his comic Mandrake and his comic The Phantom. We know that Mandrake had an impact early in your life." And I said, "Oh, it would be a joy to meet him." So I went out to New York to Sardi's restaurant. There's 100 or so writers, professors and graduate students. They're all in it. And before he started, he looked at me and he said, "Oh, Kreskin, I know of you." Shook hands with me. And he went on with the interview. 2.5 hours later, they're asking him about how he wrote Mandrake, how he wrote The Phantom. And he says, "I want to pause right now," because I was sitting off to the side. He says, "I want to tell you something. I've been writing Mandrake since 1935. The only person in all my life that I've ever seen or known or met that has become in true life what my comic strip character is the Amazing Kreskin." Can you imagine the impact that had on me, Merle? I will never I couldn't speak. So,
wow.
Merle, I could tell you that's one of the this interview could go on because I could talk to you for hours. I really mean it, Merle. We got to keep in touch.
Oh yeah, it certainly will.
But I'm gonna have to. I hope you understand. I'm gonna have to get going. I got another interview in about 10 minutes, and then I'm leaving town. I have a private. I do a lot of private affairs for corporate groups, you know, and some of them have them in their homes, and I get such a kick out of it because it doesn't matter, as you well know, where your audience is, whether they're 40 people in a home or outside in a Minnesota State Fair was like 10,000 people in the audience. I just love my audiences. I've been very blessed. My career has been like an adventure, Merle. That's all I can say.
That's so great. I'm really happy to hear it, and I'm happy to hear that you're continuing after all these years.
You got to quote me, Merle. You got to quote me. I've announced my retirement. Ready? You ready?
You do have?
I'm going to retire 10 days after I pass away. Now, is that not a bad one-liner? Now, don't you
That's
use that
good
in your
one.
Comedy routines. But, Merrill, I wish you – do you have my email or something that I – that can I ask you this? If I have Deb, my secretary – call you right back in a moment. Maybe we can exchange addresses so I can send you a package in the mail, maybe a press kit, and we can keep in touch. I like to keep you aware of what's going on, some of the crazy things
sure.
in the media. That is that all right? Because I want to get to know you.
Yeah. Oh yeah, me too. But I have the phone number you called in is a phone number. That's for the radio station, so that's not my home phone number. But I have the email of your manager, I guess.
Yeah,
whoever it is that got in touch with me.
Is that Heather Hale? Heather, the person.
Yes.
Let me give you.
So I'll email her the phone number to her.
Yeah. Let me give you
and my address.
Let me give you my business number.
Don't say it on the air.
Are you on the air?
You mean the phone number? Oh, okay. No, I have the phone number in front of me.
You got the phone number. Good. Please.
Yeah, because, what happens
also,
it appears on my computer when you call in. And it's also the same one that matches on the card.
Let me know. Please call here and just let me know because I'd like to exchange a few addresses, okay?
And then when I call you, I want to share something with you because I'm wondering about, you know, in terms of being a mentalist, a thing that keeps cropping up all the time, and I don't know why.
Would you like me to call you privately about that or something sooner?
Yeah, because I don't talk about it to anybody, and it's really, really weird.
All right. I will get back to you. If you could let my secretary have a few pieces of information, we'll be Merle. If I don't, I'll try to call. Do you mind if I call you in the evening sometime?
Oh yeah, you can call me in the evening.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll get back to you. But you have my number here, then the number you saw it on the phone. Please.
Right.
Talk to you soon, now, Merle. And in the spirit of broadcasting.
Okay. Great.
In the spirit of broadcast, I'll not say goodbye. We'll just say to be continued. Okay, Merle? To be continued. Take care. Thank you.
Thanks a bunch. Bye-bye. All right. Okay. So I'm going to end the show right now. Give my phone number. No, I don't want to talk about what it is. It's, you know, kind of weird, but anyhow. Or what it means. So I'm going to just end this show. Here it is. So wherever you're listening to, have a great day, evening, or whatever.